Christ as Savior and not believing that He is God, there is no way that you're going to make it into the kingdom of Almighty God. I may catch it after the service, but I'm not going to apologize for that right now. The only way you can come to Jesus, to Father, is through Jesus Christ. What did He say in John chapter 14? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but through Me. So every cult, every fake religious system has man reaching up to God, and that won't work. Whether it be through knocking on doors or selling Watchtower magazines or being baptized in holy underwear, all religions say, I can make it to heaven's gate by my own efforts, my own wisdom. That is a lie that is straight out of hell. Only the Christians say, Romans chapter 3, verse 11, there is none. Underline the word none and write this. Every human being is a sinner, no exceptions. And we are all depraved. We are born into sin. We are born a sinner. We are born with an old sin nature. And I'll repeat, the only way to be born again, the only way to receive salvation is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, believing that He paid your price on the cross over 2,000 years ago, believing that He was raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God, and believing that that was by divine decree in eternity past. So Jesus as appointed Savior, that is always going to be a non-negotiable subject. It is never, ever going to change. He says, there is none who understands. Underline the word understands. It means you cannot put together the facts by yourself. There is no one who can put the pieces of the puzzle together correctly. So what is this righteousness? What does it mean to be right with God? How do you go about it? How do you attain it? How do you arrive at a final understanding? There is none. Make sure you underline that word none. There is none who understands. There is none, underline that word again, who seeks for God. All right? Underline the word seeks. Write this down, if you will. No one seeks out God by his or her initiative. I'll repeat it. No one seeks out God by his or her own initiative. No one seeks God apart from his pursuit. In other words, there is no intense personal seeking of God from anyone. What does that mean? It means if God doesn't come to you first, you cannot come unto Him. Well, what about the Tibet monks there? They're up in the mountains. They're in their shrine. You've seen them. You've heard about them, right? A life of simplicity, a life of celibacy. Surely, the monks of Tibet, surely they seek after God. No, they don't. Let's reread it again. There is none who can understand what it means to be right with God. There is none who can understand the salvation of Almighty God apart from God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of the living God. There is none, and it means in the Greek, no one, period. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. Brother, if God again doesn't come to you, you cannot come unto Him. Let's look at what it says. The accuser of the brethren is silenced when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied and the testimony of grace is shared. What is grace? It is God doing for you what you can never ever do for yourself. If you are still trying to impress God with anything you do or don't do, the enemy will beat you every time. And who is the enemy? Who is the great adversary? He is Satan himself. It is when you come to a place where you say, the word of my testimony is simply grace, amazing grace. You are saved by grace. You live by the grace of God. And if you're a child of God, you will have dying grace. In other words, you will not die one moment early. You will die at exactly the right moment according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at that phrase, dying to self. Number one, many Christians, and what is a Christian? I feel like I have to explain that today, but I shouldn't. But in the world and society that we are living in, many are giving a wrong definition of Christianity. I will say this again. Being a Christian is believing in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus Christ is God, believing that Jesus Christ bore your sins upon the cross. He paid your penalty in full. So what is the only thing that will keep you out of heaven as a human being? It is not sins. Your sin debt has been paid for. It is unbelief in Jesus Christ. All right, back to the printout. Many Christians aren't blessed because they constantly monitor their own spiritual condition. Am I spiritually fit enough for God to bless me? That will never, ever happen. That's why we live by grace. It is my spiritual temperature high enough for God to use me on the job or with my kids? Yet Jesus taught us to deny ourselves. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, underline the word disciple. A disciple is one who learns from Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who chooses a continuing and deepening relationship with Christ himself. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you must deny yourself. You must set aside selfish interest and take up his cross. Underline the word cross. The word cross. This is the death of the self-life. This is the death of the self-life. So you take up the cross. This is expressing a willingness, a desire that I have produced in me by the Holy Spirit of God, giving me divine energy and divine enablement to endure whatever God will allow to come into my life. And follow me, that is singular, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, believing in me, conforming to my example, in other words, being made a clone of Jesus Christ, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. Now, this is why Paul didn't judge himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Listen to what he says. But as for me personally, it matters very little to me that I may be judged by you or any human court on this point. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Before you go to page 2, you might want to write this down. The only judgment that matters will be the Bema seat of Christ, where all our works are going to be tried by fire. All right, turn to page 2. Now here's the key. Forget yourself and let God bless you for no reason. Now, I know what I just read, but will Satan cooperate here? No, he's going to go just the opposite direction. He's going to say, remember yourself. It's all about you. You're a little God. You've got everything under control. Everything is under your feet. So do what you want to do. It's all about you in this life that you're going to live. Forget yourself and let God bless you for no reason. Let Him use you regardless of what you think or how you feel. And in so doing, you'll overcome the enemy. In Isaiah chapter 7, we see this all come together. It says, "Ask a sign of God," said Isaiah to wicked King Ahaz. "I will not ask a sign. I don't want to tempt God." Ahaz answered, although Ahaz's response sounds pious, the real reason behind this refusal was that he was looking to the Assyrians for help. Thus Isaiah responded, "Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also?" It's not our asking that wearies God. It's our refusal to ask. That's why in the original language, Jesus' words in Matthew 7:7 are "keep asking." Keep asking is a present imperative. It means ask continuously as a lifestyle and ask according to the situation that you find yourself in or that God has allowed you to be in. So keep asking, and keep asking. Don't ever stop. Make it a lifestyle. Keep asking and it shall be given you. Is God going to give you what you ask? Are you always going to ask for what is right? Will you always ask for what is exactly needed at the moment or is coming up? I really doubt it. My human reasoning is not really good, neither is yours. What is my human reasoning set beside the reasoning of Almighty God? He is all-knowing, He's all-powerful, He's everywhere present, He is all-sufficient. When I go to Him in prayer, it goes something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, please forgive Terry for not knowing how to pray or really not knowing what to say. All I know is I love You, and I know that You love me more. And I know that You want what is best for me. But you know, I don't know what is best for me. So, Heavenly Father, I'm asking that Your blessed will be done. So You will be glorified in this request. And I will mature a little more in Christ's likeness. I will become more of a clone of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I love You and thank You for hearing my prayer and thank You for answering my prayer and thank You that You didn't get me and just slapped me all over. Thank You, Father, that You listened with a loving, open heart to this child of Yours. Teach me, please, how to pray as I pray every day and as I pray more and more. Even when I sit down to eat, I have a habit of doing this. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for this food. Bless it to our bodies. Amen. Let's eat. Well, I'll probably need to take just a little more time because it is a blessing for eating the food that God has prepared and furnished for this physical body that I may have the strength that I need every day to be a living witness for Him. I end it. Thank you. I love you. To God be the glory. It is not our asking that wearies God. It is our refusal to ask. Why are we saying, why do we ever think, I'm not asking God about this. It's too dadgum small. Or I'm not going to ask God about this. This is so big, I'll probably never get the answer right or correct when I receive it. It's not our asking that wearies God. It's our refusal to ask. That's why in the original language, Jesus' words in 7:7 are keep asking. Don't ever stop asking. Let it be a lifestyle. Let it be continual. Keep asking and it shall be given you. Keep seeking. Underline the word seeking. It means to seek by internal values that drive you to what is true. Keep seeking. It's a what? Present imperative, the same as keep asking, and you shall find. Keep knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. Perhaps you're saying, I'm not going to ask God for that job, for that healing in my family, or for that miracle. Number one, you want to ask God for a job. That's great. Do you not believe that God can furnish you a job? Cannot God bring about a job that you know nothing about? You don't know where it is. You don't know what it is. Do you not trust God enough to ask Him even about a job? Well, Heavenly Father, you may give me a job that I don't like and that I don't want. God says, I'll tell you what, if you'll do good where I put you, I know how to promote you. I know how to give you a better job. Thank you, hard head. Keep seeking and you shall find. Keep knocking and it shall be opened unto you. Perhaps you're saying, I'm not going to ask God for that job or for that healing in my family. Does God love your family? Does God want healing in your family? Can God bring that healing? Are you asking Him to do it? How many of you come to me and say, I am praying, I've got a son, I've got a daughter, and they're just not getting it. They're not hearing it. They're not seeing it. I don't even know if they really even believe it. I don't even know if they're even saved or not. I'm beginning to wonder and I'm beginning to doubt. Heavenly Father, I need spiritual healing in this family. The spiritual warfare is going crazy. It's getting hard to handle. It's above and beyond human reasoning. Heavenly Father, I'm asking, and I'm not going to stop asking because I've got to have an answer, and it's got to come from You. And I'm going to knock the door down if I have to come into Your presence and look at You and hear Your voice and approach You and hear You say, come and get it. It all awaits for you. This is your birthright. Perhaps you're saying, I'm not going to ask God for that job. Why not? For that healing in my family, why not? Or for that miracle. You may be Southern Baptist. You should still believe in miracles. God hasn't changed. Jesus Christ hasn't changed. God can still take nothing and do something with it. Look at yourself. You were born nothing. You were born in a miry pit and the clay, undeserving, fully depraved, headlong into sin, and yet God said, I have the right answer. I have the right solution. I know what to do. I can answer your request. Let's hear it. What's wrong with a lot of churches today? They don't believe that God can do a miracle. If you don't think God can do a miracle, then you better get back in your Bible. Because if I were to ask you if you were saved, is that not a miracle? Thank you. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Listen carefully, the virgin will conceive. Oh, by the way, there are some a little hard-headed, not here, but out in the liberal left. They don't believe in the virgin birth. I want to tell you, I do. The Bible says it. Jesus says it. Amen. He upholds it, and He upheld it through His death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. The virgin, Jesus Christ, did not have a human father. Amen. Therefore, He did not have an old sin nature, because the old sin nature is passed down by the seed of man. So now you know. If you don't get that, talk to me after the service. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Listen carefully. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Some say Jesus was a woman. The Bible says He was a son. Amen. And she will call His name Emmanuel, God with us. Do you believe God is with you?
Amen.
Thank you. Now, God gave Ahaz the greatest sign of all in spite of the fact that Ahaz refused to even ask. Truly, God draws from a bottomless well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. Therefore, let us, underline the word us and write your name. That is a reference to all Christians in Jesus Christ. In other words, therefore, let us, as our birthright, let us with privilege, who gave you the privilege? Jesus Christ, by grace. Through faith are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Therefore, let us with privilege, full of grace and mercy, approach. Underline the word approach. The word approach means to receive from God. You must approach Him. Isn't that what it says? Therefore, let us with privilege, privilege of salvation, of righteousness, being right with God, let us approach. And that is to receive from Him. You must approach Him. Approach the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? It means I've got everything you're ever going to need in life. When did He know that in eternity past? How can I say that? Because God is all-knowing. He's God. There's nothing He doesn't know. So did God know everything that you were going to need in eternity past? The answer is absolutely. He knew you were going to build on the lake in eternity past. Is that correct? Look at him shaking his head, yeah, and fish all day long. Here we go. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. So don't stay away from the throne of grace. Come get what you need. That's what he's saying right there. There is no measure of what God can do in the lives of those who overcome the enemy as they love not their own lives, but instead rejoice in the blood of the Lamb and cling to His amazing grace. May we be those people. Well, look at the word remember. Every Christian is saved from eternal condemnation by Christ's blood. Page 3. Number 2. Those who defeat Satan's schemes in this life and receive the reward of eternal authority do so by a godly, faithful, fearless, public testimony. Number 3. Secret agent Christians, those who are saved but operate undercover, so to speak, will receive no authority from Christ. How do you like that statement? How do you like that answer? You want to be secret about your Christianity? You don't want a public testimony, faithful and fearless? Listen to this one more time. If you want to be a secret agent Christian, those who are saved but operate undercover, so to speak, will receive no authority from Christ. You'll pray with no authority. You will live with no authority of the living God. How many in church today are living like that? Triumphant, conquering believers do not love their lives more than they love God. His kingdom agenda for their lives overrules all others. Number 5, you'll never really have a testimony without a test. You'll never have a testimony without a test. Jim Clay, you have a testimony. Becky had to leave early. She's going to her son's. She's got a testimony. Kelly, you got a testimony. There's a lot of testimonies in here that I am not aware of. Conley, you have a testimony. Most everybody in here has a testimony. Most every Christian has a testimony. But remember, you can't have a testimony without a test. And you wonder why Jesus allows you to be tested, why He allows things to come into your life, because He wants to give you a testimony. He wants a testimony that is faithful. He wants one that is fearless. He wants one that's going to go public. All for His glory. And you know that can happen when you learn to die to self. You'll never really have a testimony without a test. That's the way it works. Once you go through a test and the Lord sees you through, then you have a testimony. Share it. Let people know what the Lord has done for you, with you, and in you. Remember that He who began a good work in us. Can I ask you a question? What did you just read? Who has begun a good work in you? Who? Was it you? Who did? Jesus did. So you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They have begun a good work in you. So you did not begin this good work in you yourself. Is that correct? If you did not begin this good work in you, and that is correct, then stop trying to do it. You ever wonder why you say, boy, this Christianity, this is bull. There's nothing to it. I'm out of here. I wonder why it's like that. Because you're trying to do what God told you not to do. God said, I started it. I'll continue it. And I'll finish it. So leave it alone. All God wants for you is to yield, to surrender, to understand the Holy Spirit's function in your life. The Holy Spirit is God. Is that correct?
Yes.
So He knows what God the Father and God the Son wants. Is that correct? To produce in your life. Is that correct? Is He the one who gives you divine energy and divine enablement and divine empowerment?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you got left out, didn't you? We were just talking about what God started, what God's going to continue, what God's going to finish, and we never got around to mention your name, did we?
That's right.
We never got around to say, oh, what's your great work in all this? Love Him. Love one another. Obey Him. Live by His Word. In Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You can't see all things working together unless you do things God's way. And if you see God working in all things, Jim, you can endure Houston, can't you? And you can endure chemo. And you can endure whatever's God allowing at the moment in your life. And that is for everybody that is going through something. You are never, ever alone when Jesus is your blessed Lord and Savior. Because you never really want to say,
hey, Jesus, you at work down there?
He says, yeah, everything's going good. Just wanted to check because I'm feeling lousy out here. He said, I've got it in here.
Amen.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us of our stupidity. Forgive us, dear Heavenly Father, that we are way too proud of ourselves. Forgive us that we think we can do it all, and we can't really do anything. I thank You for the test that You allow to come into our lives, the time of testing. I thank You for that adversity, that hardship that You allow to come, letting me know that I must live a life of complete 100% dependence upon You. Nothing less will do. And I thank You for starting Your work in me, because I know if You started it, there's nothing, there's no one that can stop it. Just help me to stay out of the way of it. And while You're working in me, grow my testimony, that it will be faithful and fearless. It will be godly and shared with whoever, wherever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand.
Have thine own way, Lord.